You would take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. The book of 1 Peter in the New Testament, chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 6. And we'll read down through verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. We're going to be dealing this morning with the all-sufficiency of God's grace. And I'm glad He can take care of every need that we have, every struggle that comes upon our life. I'm glad His grace is sufficient, as He told the Apostle Paul when he prayed that thorn in his flesh might be removed. He prayed and prayed, and the Lord told him that He would not remove it, but that His grace would be sufficient. And if it is sufficient for Paul, I believe it would be sufficient for you and I as we serve the Lord together. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. These verses this morning, you find that the Lord has instructed Paul to write to us concerning casting our cares upon Him, and to realize that the devil is always there as an active roaring lion, ready to devour us, ready to destroy us, ready to kill us, to maim us. But we can resist him through the Word of God, and that the God of all grace, I'm glad He's the God of all grace. And that's what we're going to deal with this morning, the God of all grace. It is sufficient for us. It is helpful to us. And it'll get us through all the struggles of life and the struggles that come to us in our walk with the Lord. You and I, we certainly hear much about grace. I talk a lot about it. I love the subject of the grace of God. But I still believe we need to be reminded that our God is a good God. Our God is a graceful God. Our God is a merciful God. And He's not only to those that we read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but He's that way to you and I as a believer this morning. And that we are His people, and therefore He loves us. It is of His mercies, the Scripture says, that we are not consumed. And we certainly ought to thank the Lord that His compassions fail not, and they're new every morning, according to Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 23. And so every day these things are fresh to us as a child of God, as a Christian. Along with His mercy, we thank the Lord that there is the marvelous grace toward His children. The Lord, thank God, He is a good Lord. He's a good God. He loves us. He cares for us. And what a statement of His character when we find and we see in the Scripture that He is good. Our God is good. And we are very privileged this morning to have heard the truth about our God and the God of heaven, because all the other peoples of this world that worship and they have their own gods and they have their own way of worshiping, they're always fearful of their God. But I'm glad my God is a God that can be, I can come to Him, I can look to Him, I can call upon Him, and I can know that He is a good God. He loves me. And He helps me. And so we come to Him by faith, and His goodness is manifested to us in many, many ways. I'm sure this morning that if we were to take time, we could realize and make maybe some testimony concerning God's provision to us. He has provided over and over time and time again for our personal being and our personal life. He gives us not only provision, but He gives us protection. He helps us along the way. And I said something maybe the other night that if we could pull back the film of our eyes and see the battle that rages around us, it would probably scare us to death. But thank God He protects His children. He helps us and He gives us that protection and that guidance, His companionship, His promises, all just the wonderful grace of the Lord. We have in our songbook a song entitled "The Wonderful Grace of the Lord." Thank God today we have the grace of God manifested to us, and God knew from the very beginning that man had a great need, and that need would have to be met by His grace. Even from the very beginning, I find the first time that grace, the word, is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 8. And the Bible says there that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first time you'll find the word grace. But you go back further than that. You go back into the very Garden of Eden, you'll find that God manifests His grace to Adam and Eve when they sinned against Him. God gave them grace and gave them a way of escape and gave them coats of skins that they might have the covering of their life, are showing and typifying and representing the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us life eternal. And so from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, all the way through the Bible to the very last words, the very last verse of the Scriptures in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." So this book that I have before me and this book that you're holding in your lap this morning, literally you can understand that it is a book of God's grace. It is a book that reveals that He is a gracious God. It is a book that reveals to us that He cares about us. He loves us. And even though He knows everything about us, now we may hide things from people, but we'll not hide it from God. And He knows all about us, yet He still loves us. And He still has mercy upon us, and He shows us grace for our life. There's a great need today for, I believe, the teaching of the grace of the Lord. I believe there's a lot of churches that have missed out on the blessings of knowing. And the day in which we live is a terrible time and terrible conditions. The Bible says in the last days that men's hearts shall fail them. The Bible says for fear. Well, I'm glad the grace of God can remove some of that fear. We don't have to fear as others do. We don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope. Thank God we have hope this morning in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that sin is in abundance and ungodliness is everywhere. Godliness is in decline. Failure everywhere we look, failure in our government, failure in our families, failure in our churches. But thank God He shall never fail us. He is the one that's going to help us and give us direction. For you see, we do live in days that are perilous. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 4 that in the last days perilous times shall come. And He describes some of those times. There's going to be those that are traitors, those that are high-minded. They love pleasure more than they love God. And that certainly describes the era of time in which we live. And you can go on and read all those different things there in 2 Timothy 3. And every one of them describe the society in which we live. And so you and I, because of the days of peril upon us, we must understand that we must have the grace of God. We've got to have the grace and the mercy of our Lord. We're living in days that are perilous. We're living in times that are evil. I don't have to labor that point. I think all of us know that we're living in evil, wicked times. Galatians chapter 4, chapter 1 rather, verse 4 says, "Who gave Himself," talking about Christ, "who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world." This world that we're living in is a evil world, and the Lord gave His life and died for us that He might deliver us from this present evil world, and it's according to the will of God and of our Father. And so this morning, the days are perilous, the times are evil, but thank God for His grace. The days ahead are don't look too good, and problems everywhere because the times are evil, and you look around, you'll realize that society is very, very wicked. It's almost to the point as it was in the days of Noah. The Scripture says in those days that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And if God looks down upon mankind today, certainly He's going to see the wickedness of man is great upon the earth. The Bible says that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That describes Noah's day. That describes the day right before the judgment of God, right before the flood. And then Matthew tells us in the New Testament that as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So if that was the day of Noah, and we see it today, guess what? He's coming. The Lord's on His way, and we must have the grace of our God manifest to us. Society is very, very wicked. Society is running rampant against God and against the goodness of the Lord. Satan is roaring. We read just a moment ago there in verse number 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant. That means to be alert, to be active, to be working diligently because of what we see around us. And he says that our adversary, the devil, he is our adversary. He's not our friend. He may make things look good. He may make things look well. But the devil is our adversary. He's our enemy. And he's out to devour us. He's out to destroy us. He's out to tear us down. He's out to throw us away. Use us and use everything that we have. And then just throw us away because he does not care. And so the wages of sin is death. Oh, but thank God the gift of the Lord is eternal life. So Satan is roaring. Wickedness is in our society. The world is evil all around us, and times are perilous. Apostasy, that word apostasy just simply means turning back on truth. Apostasy is running rampant everywhere in our generation. People that used to teach truth. Churches that used to teach this book right here before us have turned their back upon that. And denominations have turned their back upon the very Word of God. And so therefore, rampant ungodliness is before us because of the attitude that people have toward the Word of God. The Lord says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 3, says, let no man deceive you by any means. Now, that's easy to read, but boy, that's a hard thing. Deception is very, very difficult to avoid because of even the meaning of the word deception. It makes it look good. It makes it look right. But here Paul tells us, says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition or the son of wickedness. And so we find that apostasy is everywhere. I believe we're living in the generation that's ushering in that son of perdition. I believe we're living in that generation that is making things well and setting the stage for that man called the Antichrist. And we're seeing everything happen before our eyes. And Paul says, be careful, don't let any man deceive you. For that day will not come except there come a falling away first. And I believe we're in that falling away period. I believe we are seeing that happen before our very eyes, and that tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Unfaithfulness is general around us. And we spoke Wednesday night upon just be faithful. All that God requires of us is to be found faithful in the work of the Lord. But we're finding everywhere unfaithfulness in the work of the Lord. The Bible says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Is he going to find faith? Yes, he will. But I believe it will be few, and I believe it will be very, very shallow and very weak. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? But thank God he is coming. Jesus is on his way. And when these things, the Bible says, begin to come to pass, look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. But until that takes place, we need to understand God is a God of grace. Until that takes place, then we need, as Wednesday night was said, we need to be found faithful. Until then, we need to understand that we must stay busy and active in the work of the Lord so that we can follow the direction that God gives unto us. He says here in verse 10 of our passage, "But the grace of God, but the God of all grace, who hath called us." I'm glad, thank God, this morning. If you're saved, you've been called of God. One day He knocked on your heart's door. One day He made you understand you was lost and you was a sinner. You needed God. You say, "I've never had that type of experience." Then you need to have that. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you find yourself in your life or your lifestyle. We need to realize there must be a time that we call upon the Lord. And He comes and knocks on our heart to make us realize that we need Him. We need God. That's a manifestation of His grace. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to come to me that Sunday night back in November 1959. He didn't have to come and speak to my heart in those days and even weeks before that time that I accepted. He did not have to come back the next time or the next time or the next time. But thank God, through His grace and mercy, He did come. And He kept coming and kept knocking. And praise the Lord, I trusted Him one day. And we are children of God because of our faith and because of the grace of God. I'm glad that God's grace is abundant. I'm glad that it's sufficient. And I'm glad it's readily available to all that will accept Him. There's none that He will turn away. No wise will He cast them out. We need God's grace in these last days just in order to remain encouraged and faithful to the Lord. You turn on the news this morning, and I'm sure some of you did that like I do. I wonder, did anybody hear any encouraging news this morning? Wasn't anything good on the news? Why, there wasn't anything that would make us rejoice? If you found that channel, I sort of missed it as I went through the channels. Because as far as the world is concerned, there's not any good news. Oh, there may be a little spot here and a little spot there of what the world says is good. But I'm talking about what we as believers know is good news. There's not any, but we need to understand that we can be encouraged and we can retain the faithfulness of the Lord because His grace is sufficient for us in these last days. The majority of us often fail to recognize the grace of God as we should. And sometimes we complain. We have fear, we wail, we have our problems, and nothing is seeming to go right. But I'm glad He's still there. And when we realize He is there, thank God His watch care over us. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the," what? "Throne of grace." Everything about God is grace. "Come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find help in time of need." Aren't you glad there's help at the cross? Aren't you glad there's help there when we came to Him? Aren't you glad there's help with the Lord wherever we are? We found and we realized as we sang this morning that song, "Saved by Grace." I'm glad that our salvation is strictly, privately, just by grace. I'm glad it's not by works because I couldn't work enough. You couldn't work enough. I'm glad it's not by our wealth because we're not wealthy enough. I'm glad it's not by any other thing. But you and I this morning are sitting in the house of the Lord and we're in the family of God as a believer simply because one day the grace of God that brought salvation to us and now, He says, has appeared to all men. Salvation comes by God's grace. Do you realize that, and I don't understand this, but do you realize that we could have been born in a country, as so many countries of this world, and never hear the gospel? And if we heard it, that it would be so shallow and so weak that we wouldn't understand what it meant to be saved. We could be raised in a country, or we could have been born in an area of the world that has no understanding at all about a God in heaven. Oh, they may worship their cows, and they may worship their dogs and their chickens, and They know that there's something out there greater than they, but they've never heard that there was a man by the name of Jesus. You know, this morning it's by His grace that we heard the gospel. It is by His love and His mercy. It's certainly not who we were. He did not permit us to have salvation because we were fair-skinned. He did not permit us to have salvation because we are Americans. We have the salvation that comes from God because He loved us and gave a life for us. And so there is grace that's in our salvation. Our verse says here, there in verse number 10, but the God of all grace, and it starts out, all grace of salvation. That's the first, that's the foremost, that's the most important thing of our life, that we've been saved by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Praise the Lord, we have a gift. We have something that has been handed to us free of charge. We've had it given to us that is not going to be come back around and say, now you've got to do this in order to go to heaven. Or you got to hold on. You got to do well. You got to take care of sin in your life. You've got to just do so many things in order to go to... No. Salvation is by the grace of God and that favor that God put upon us as believers. That ought to make us rejoice. That ought to make us stand up. That ought to make us sit up and rejoice and realize what He's done for us. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24. Being justified freely by His grace. The word justify means being set free. It's just like we've never sinned. When God looks at me, when God looks at you as a believer, He does not see our sin. He sees the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we've been justified freely by Him through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Our Sunday school this morning covered part of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we have redemption through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. My heart rejoices, and your heart as a Christian should rejoice, that we've been saved through faith. That we've been saved by grace. The song a moment ago, as Fanny Crosby penned those words, and she said, someday a silver cord will break and I no more shall sing. There's a day coming when we're not going to sing. There's a day coming when we'll not be here. And she says, but oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King and I shall see Him face to face. Praise the Lord this morning. It's all by the grace of our God. So there's salvation. Grace is in our salvation. Not only that, but grace is in our service. After we're saved, the Lord tells us that we're to be servants of the King. We're to be freely given of our time and our talents unto the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28, wherefore we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and a godly fear. There's a problem in our generation. There's a lot of folks who think they're serving God, but they have no reverence and they have no godly fear. And that does not go together with serving the Lord. And so our service unto the Lord should be because and is because of the grace that God gives us whereby we can follow His direction and follow His love and follow the pathway that He has for us. We receiving a kingdom. Thank God, I'm in a new kingdom now. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and praise God in the kingdom of the dear Son of the Lord, the Son of God. And we're in that kingdom of life. And so therefore, we're to manifest, we're to show, we're to let our light so shine that others might see Christ in us. And we're to do that with reverence and a godly fear toward Him because God has loved us and through grace we can serve Him. He doesn't say it's easy, doesn't say it's always the way it should be in our maybe in our thoughts and our minds, but we can be a servant of the King. And all that's required of a servant is what? Be found faithful. And so we find this morning, everything about our life is intertwined with this thing called grace. It's in our salvation. It's in our service. It's also, and in some places, around this world, even this morning, in our suffering. We are able to suffer because of the grace of our Lord. 2 Corinthians, I mentioned a while ago as in the introduction about Paul. And he says, God told him in Corinthians 12 and 9, He said unto me, God said unto Paul, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so, when we feel like maybe we're the weakest is when God can show us His strength. When God can work through us and God can help us and God can deliver through our lives. And so we have grace even in suffering. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you such as common to man. Somebody says, I don't know if anybody's ever gone through what I'm going through. Get ready to understand. Everybody suffers. Everybody goes through. There's nothing that nobody has ever suffered. And we're just like everybody else. But thank God His grace is sufficient. No temptation taken you such as common to man. The next part of that verse says, but God is what? Faithful. Praise the Lord for the faithfulness of our Lord, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So when temptations and trials come, just understand God has a way of escape. God gives us a way, and He does that through His grace. There's grace in salvation, there's grace in service, there's grace in suffering. I'm glad there's grace in singing. I love to sing. I love to hear good choirs. I love to hear people get together and just sing just because they love to sing. And the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Then the next three words says singing with grace. So our singing ought to be manifested by the grace of God. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I'm glad we can sing the old songs of Zion. I'm glad we can get a hold of a song and rejoice and sing it and let the words infiltrate our heart and our minds to make us realize we have what we have because God loves us. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are to deal with in our personal walk with the Lord. There is grace in singing. We sing the old songs in our songbook, and I love old songbooks. I've got a bunch of them I've collected down through the years, and some of them, they're lost in time, and nobody ever sings them anymore, but you can get them down and look at the words, and there's people that knew what they were singing about. And we sing this morning because there's grace in our hearts. You say, well, I can't carry a very good tune. That doesn't matter. Grace in your heart will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And to rejoice in Him and to have the blessings of salvation by grace. There's not only grace in our singing, but there's grace in our speaking. We ought to be very careful with our speech patterns. And we ought to have our speech sprinkled with the grace of the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be always with grace. Then it says, seasoned with salt. Now salt is that preserving element that we have in this world that it preserves. And salt also is something that brings out the flavor of whatever we're eating. Now some people eat a lot of salt. Some people don't eat much salt. Brother Solomon, he said, I love salt. And we were sitting the other day having lunch with him, and I'm telling you, I couldn't eat it. He said, oh, it makes it so good, salt. Well, I told him, Sharon said, yeah, it's going to make your blood pressure good too. That'll help you. But here we find that our speaking should be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt is that which makes it you desire it. You want it. It makes it taste good. And it says here that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Well, I'll tell you what. I wish the Lord sometimes wouldn't put so much in here about answering people and how we ought to answer people. But He tells us that our speech and our answers, our talk, should be by the grace of the Lord, or seasoned with salt and the grace of God. You know why? Because that the world that we're around might know that we know Him and that He loves us. Because we are, whether it be our singing, whether it be our speaking, whether it be our service, whether it be our suffering, whatever it is, these things ought to point the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that has loved us so much. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." You know what would keep you, and you know what will keep me, and what will keep everybody else from going astray doctrinally, is to know the grace of God that comes from this book, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, not being ashamed, but just knowing what the book says. Now, sometimes that's not very popular. Sometimes that's not a whole lot of fun. But the Scripture tells us here that we are to have our life, we are to be stabilized by the grace of God that would help us not to be carried away with every wind of doctrine. Some people, anything new, they just go after it. They just fall after it and say, "Oh, if it's new, it's got to be good." Well, my Bible tells me there's nothing new under the sun. The Scripture is very clear, and we have these things before us. And so we are to be established with the grace of God, and to know that the grace of the Lord is our surety. It is through Him that we have these many, many blessings. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, "And the God of our Father which loved us hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." I'm glad this morning I have consolation through the grace of God. I'm glad I have good hope. Oh, I thank God for the good hope that we have in Christ. Tonight, tomorrow, the next day, or even this afternoon, if the Lord calls any of us home, I can say, if it's me, I can say I'm satisfied because I have good hope in the Lord. He has begun a good work in my life. He has continued that work, and one day He'll fulfill it. One day He'll finish it, and we'll be at home with Him. There is a grace that we can know that we have consolation and comfort. And the Scripture says, "Comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work." This morning, do you know the grace of our Lord? Have you experienced that in the walk of the flesh? Have you come to know Him and trust Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know that He is the one that will always help us, and He will always direct us? I'm glad that there's grace that comes to us, that comes from God, God out of heaven, to be manifested unto us. And it's new every day. It gives to us the blessings of the Lord every day in our life. So I want us to stand together this morning. I want Brother David and Deborah to come. And I want us to just sing a song that we don't have it in our book. We don't have it in anything that we could pass around. It's just a song most of us, many of us, know. It's the song New Grace.